All right. My turn to say good morning.
Good morning.
Not that you haven't heard it enough already this morning, but it's a great morning. And it's important that we greet each other. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. Didn't catch all of Steve's Sunday school, but I did catch some of it. It was good stuff. Appreciate that. This morning, Pastor G is not here, obviously. He's gone to the dark side, Massachusetts. So, New York is bad enough. Then you go that farther east, and it just gets really bad. I mean, I don't know. Harry, be kind. They're probably listening. His whole house now hates me. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just come before you in all of your majesty and your honor. And we thank you, Father, for as Mike said, you came down to this earth and you gave your life as a sacrifice for us, for our sins. You were the atonement for them. And because of this sacrifice, I can now proclaim be a child of you. And we thank you for that privilege, Father. And Lord, as we go through this service, we just ask that you would speak to us. That each one of us is at a different stage in life, and we would ask, Lord, that you would meet us where we are. We praise and honor you, Father, today. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know, this thing's got some ringing going on up here. Is something I'm doing? Ah, okay, all right. I'd like you to turn with me to Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. A lot of times when I speak and when I'm thinking of what I'm going to be saying, you know, I want to come up with a topic or something like that. And the titles of most of my messages tend to be one-word titles. And this word today that is the title of my message is unity. So read with me in Ephesians. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling in which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in us all. When we become Christians, we are entered into a family. We're entered into the family of God. In that family, there's a lot of different pieces. There's a lot of moving parts. I come from a family of, I have three brothers, one sister. Some circumstances, that's a large family. Some circumstances, that isn't so large. But when you think of all those moving parts, and every one of us, as Michael will attest, every one of us has a little bit of a different personality. And when you get all those personalities together, because one thing about that's common from all of our personalities is that they're big personalities. A bunch of big personalities together, and after a while, you know, those gears start grind a little bit, you know. And that isn't the case as much as anymore as we, you know, as we get older. But that same kind of thing, I'm sure you can relate to. If you have children, you will know that you get them together and they're going along. After a while, for some dumb reason, all of a sudden, without a shadow of a doubt, it doesn't matter how good the day is going, there's going to be a point that there's going to be some tension. Now, I'm sure, and my son gave me permission to do this. He said, "Dad, if you're, you know," he was joking with me, but he challenged me in this way, so now I'm going to use it. He goes, "Dad, if you're struggling, just use us as an example. You'll get through it." Well, here we go. You know, it seems like whenever there's a lot of big personalities, whenever we get together, there can be times where we don't always get along. And the more you're together, the higher the likelihood of that happening. All right? So we're all agreed that's a common thing with us. All right? Everybody can agree that that's a common thing. So when we become a Christian and we're entered into the family of Christ, we are united with that family under one purpose. That unity Satan hates. There is nothing greater, a greater hindrance to Satan's kingdom than unity. And his attacks against us, all that are happening, the moment we become a Christian, we become a threat to him. Okay? The moment we're entered into the family of God, we become a threat to his kingdom. And there is nothing that Satan wants more than to divide us. So what does unity look like? We see unity in a lot of different aspects of life. How many here are like, you don't even have to be a sportsman per se, like nature. Everybody likes nature? Nature has good examples of unity. And one example, and I'm going to move around, I'm sorry. I apologize to all the Zoomers that if I go out of, I can't stand still when I talk. It drives me nuts. But there are quite a few sportsmen here, by the way. And I'm gonna pick on one because, well, he's a friend of my son and he's been here. And I'm gonna pick on him because I want you to get to know him. Does everybody know Nick? Has everybody met Nick? He's this tall guy over in the corner here. And I'm gonna pick on him because, well, he made the choice to be friends with this guy right here. And this is Marcus. But one thing I like about Nick is Nick is he is very willing to help. Now Nick's been to my house a couple times with Marcus, and Nick, when we butchered our pigs, we butchered Tyrone, yeah. When Tyrone met the freezer, Nick was there to help. And you know what? I would say he was probably more helpful than... Do I need to say any more? I guess the reaction is you know who I'm talking about. Anyways, Nick jumped right in. And he helped, and he was steadfast in it. He stayed right to the end. Nick's a good guy. I want you guys to get to know Nick. Sorry, bud. So, one of the aspects of nature that we see unity in is unity. You see in an animal that you don't see a lot of, and you don't hear a lot of, and maybe some of you may not even know what this animal is. It's the musk ox. Everybody heard of that? Anybody heard of the musk ox? So the musk ox lives in the Arctic area. Very cold. This is a very hairy, ugly, stinky animal. And it has very few predators. These are big animals. Okay, there's not a lot that can take a muskox down. But there is a few. And one of them is a wolf. And a wolf, if in a pack, can take down, maybe not a full-grown muskox, but it'll definitely go after the calves. And the defense of the muskox that the muskox uses, it's a very powerful animal, but you get hit with one, they got a sweeping horn, just kind of like a water buffalo, but they're really tight to its head. And just the sheer power, you get hit with one of those, it's like getting hit by a freight train. I mean, it is just, it's tremendous. And their defense system is unique. Because they're vulnerable on a lot of their body, except that front. And so when they feel attacked, they make a circle. They gather together and they make a circle. And that circle, everybody is facing front. Everybody, every one of them is straight ahead. A wolf comes in from one angle, doesn't matter, there's a head facing its way. that can take it out. The only way that a wolf can hurt a muskox or get to the, because the young ones then gather in the middle of that circle. There's only one way that a wolf can get at it, and that is if it can separate from the herd. Okay? And it does happen. If they can catch him by surprise, they can separate one from the herd. Another example that we have in history is, and we've talked about this before, I've talked about this in Sunday school, is the Roman army. So the Roman army, when they would march and go into battle, they would interlock their shields, right? And you've talked to me, or I've talked about that, an example of interlocking the shields of faith. And so when they interlock, they have however many wide they use, depending, they probably, you know, determine that by the enemy they were facing or what they were attacking. But one of the things that's really interesting is when they would lock shields for however many wide, there was not only the guy beside you, but there was a guy behind you as well. Okay? And that guy behind you held up his shield, and he would bring, when the arrows would come from the enemy, he would bring his shield in up over top of the guy in front of him. Stop arrows from coming in. And these legions or fighting forces, you know, when you read about it, they say they could have been up to 8 people thick. There was 8 people going in unison. Now, try to get 2 people to walk in unison, right? It's hard to get 2 people to walk in unison. Now you have a whole line of people, and it's 8 people thick. And if they walk out of unison, if they're not united in purpose, what happens to them? They get separated. They can't work as a unit anymore. And if they don't work as a unit, they're vulnerable. Satan, one of his main objectives, I believe, is to divide us from the body. You can see this in examples all over the history of the church. I, in particular, grew up in the Mennonite Church. Mennonite Church is notorious for its divisions. Harry grew up in the Baptist Church. Harry, is there divisions in the Baptist Church? He can't remember any, but there's First Baptist, and there's Second Baptist, and there's Living Word Baptist, and there's, you know, how many different things can we come up with? But Satan loves to divide us from our church. He loves to divide us from the body. And he uses that dividing attack to isolate us. This comes in many different forms, this attack. In the natural world, you know, it comes like wolves will circle. And you'll notice if you watch anything, this isn't just wolves, but like animals of that are predatory animals will look and they'll wait and they'll watch. And they'll watch until somebody a prey animal gets off by itself, separated from the herd, gets off by itself, it starts to wander, it starts to see green grass over here that the rest of the herd has left, and it'll go off to itself. It goes off to itself, and it's vulnerable now. And it's vulnerable to attack. And this is where Satan is really, really strategic. Satan is strategic in the fact that he's got a lot of time on his hands, right? And he loves nothing more than to prepare for an attack to separate us from the body. Satan uses tactics to separate us in different ways. A lot of the ways that I see Satan attack is he uses other people. Other people will say something or do something to us, and it'll hurt. And some of the words that are coming out of my mouth right now, Satan might use to divide. The caution and the is that he wants to get at us. So he will use something somebody else said or somebody else did to try to isolate us, to hurt us, and to move us away from the body. An example of this, you know, in my own life, when I am not in regular communication with my wife, believe it or not, we don't always get along. Now that is a shocker, I know, because we work so well together. And we are so united in our purpose. But Satan uses a little thing of isolation, and if we're not communicating with each other on a regular basis, if I'm not actively talking with her, if I'm not actively in communication, I have sensed over the years, and I've been married to this lovely woman for 23. I think I'm right. I know it's not 20 and it's not 25 yet, so I'm right in that 20. But I have noticed that if we become distracted by life, and she's doing her thing, and I'm doing my thing, and we're just in cohabitation together, instead of communicating with each other and talking. And it could be as much as, how's your day going? Or what happened today? You know, I've mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again. When I come home from work, and men will attest to this, when we come home from work, most times we do not want to communicate with anybody anymore. That, Gary, you're shaking your head. You agree with that? Harry, you think that may be something like that? We are limited. Exactly. That brings up a great point. We are limited. Men are limited in the words they use, right? Women have a higher capacity. They can keep right on plugging away. We, however, have used them up, right? So it takes a level of, we have to purpose in what we're doing, right? I have to purpose to talk with my wife. And I've noticed that if I don't do that, we start to there can be suspicion come up, or maybe not even suspicion, but when we do talk to each other, then there's a little bit of irritation. When she's doing her thing and I'm doing my thing, she can get irritated that I'm doing my thing and she's doing her thing and I'm not helping her do her thing. And after a while, it's just, there's a separation. So how, when Satan's attacking and he's so good at dividing us, how do we stay united? One of the number one things that I, I should say this. To keep an army united, what do they need? To keep a team united, what do they need? A leader? Purpose. So, going to use another example. I'm going to use another one of my sons. You're up, bud. So Derek played a game. Derek played a basketball game. He's in the basketball. He's the only one of my sons that, you know, likes basketball or plays basketball. And I've really, really struggled with basketball. Basketball, I played a little when I was, you know, barnyard ball or whatever when I was a kid, but I have a hard time really getting into organized real basketball. And when he said, I want to play basketball, Dad, anyways, that's not the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make here is, Derek, what happens when one guy gets the ball and he won't give it up, won't pass it? Teammates don't like him? What else can happen? Well, coach will bench, but why is the coach benching him? He's not working with the other team, right? So, teammates. So, with any sport, and I've coached sports for a while, all baseball, never coached anything else, but it's just such a superior sport than all the rest. I mean, you're welcome, Pastor Graziano. That was for you. Now, in coaching kids, I get the same answer to a question I'll give a young team. When I give a young team, when I ask what position, especially when it's a baseball team, when I ask them, what position do you want to play? And almost 95% of those kids, they'll say what? They want to be what? The pitcher. They want to be the pitcher. They want to be the star. They want to have the ball in their hands. Why is that? Because they've missed the objective. They've missed the purpose. As they get older, that starts to fade because they start to learn what my purpose is. When they realize that it takes a team to win the game, you can't all be pitchers. If you have nine guys at the pitching position and they're all trying to throw the ball and the batters whack the ball to the outfield, and what's not the pitcher's job to run to the outfield, so they're all huddled around the pitcher's mound. What does that guy do? He scores, right? You need everybody. And it's a simple example, but it's true that in a church, we need everybody. So what is that purpose? What is that thing that God asks of us? Because if we're all in the same, we all have the same purpose, if we're all following what God wants of us, we're all heading the same direction, right? So let's turn to Romans 12. And I'm going to read this, and I don't always do this. There's but I'm going to read it from start to finish. Because there's so much to get out of this. It's, when you're trying to, my mind, when I'm trying to study for a sermon, goes all kinds of different ways when I start reading the scriptures, because there's so much that you can glean from this word. You know, it's crazy how much you can get out of this. But let's read it from start to finish. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is purpose. And that is what we are called individually to do. And we are called all of us together to do this. And I'm going to continue to read, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, think about that for a second. There's many different personalities here in this room today. Many different upbringings, many different life experiences. Right? Many different hurts. But we are all in the same body of Christ. For having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion of our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. That's a tough one. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, living peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now there's tremendous amount to unpack here. And I'm not going to go into all these things, but there's a couple points I want to point out to you when it comes to unity. I spoke earlier of a family with lots of opinions, and so when I get to the point where it says, do not be wise in your own opinion. That one cuts deep for me. Because when I have to put myself aside for the opinion of another, and I have to forsake myself. That hurts. That's hard to do.
but it's an important part of unity. I can't be united with someone if truly united with somebody if it's always my way or the highway. When I was young, I used to manipulate some of my friends. I was that kid. I had instances when I was really young that I would say to my friends, well, if you don't do it this way, I'm going to leave. I was the kid that took his ball and went home. And after a while, those friends, I did it once and I got away with it. Oh, we'll try this again. They always had to play what Josh wanted to play. And we always had to do what Josh wanted to do. But after a while, my friends, they got used to that. And finally they said, buddy, you're on your own. You want to leave? Take a hike. If it's always got to be your way, okay, go. And soon, what does that develop? I'm alone again. And the friendships I've built, and in the body, it's not really that much different. And that's why God calls us to humble ourselves. Back in Ephesians 4, if you flip back to there, it says, walk worthy of the calling which you were called with all lowliness, gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, and endeavoring to keep unity of the Spirit. We have to forgive one another. And even Harry. I mean, sometimes you have to forgive Harry. I mean, I know it's you know, it's a work in progress. That's right. B knows, you know. Boy, John Stout, sometimes. I don't have to ask. I can see it's written all over the face. You know, we all have those things that great and that Satan wants to use to divide us from the body. All those personalities, all those things. Remaining steadfast in purpose, knowing what our purpose is. Our purpose, if we are all going at the same goal, if our goal is all, as Paul wrote, is if our goal is to be a living sacrifice for Christ, and that is all our goal, we can have a lot of different methods of serving and being that living sacrifice, but that's our goal. And as we unite together, we can be that unstoppable force. I have watched as I've seen Christians set a goal for themselves and say, this is the way we have to go. I've watched as that has happened, and you if they persist in that, I've watched people persist in that fact that it has to be my way. It has to be that. And you'll soon see that They'll go from one church, and soon that church will figure out, well, this guy's all for himself. And then they'll start pumping the brakes on the things he wants to do. And then they'll leave and they'll go to another church. And then after a while, it's developing well. Well, this is, guy's a great Christian, but then after a while, it doesn't seem to line up there. And soon they'll start their own church. But if it's a church of one, how much of a church is it? We are to humble ourselves as believers, considering others better than ourselves. The last thing I want to talk about is the strength of unity. When we go our own way and we seek our own path, and we don't want to bring anybody else with, we become an island, right? An island can be attacked at all angles. We need each other to grow in Christ, to move forward in our purpose. This past week, our family watched a movie together, and here I am using another movie reference, but this one was really, this part of the movie really spoke to me. And I would recommend that everybody watch this one, even more than Invincible. This one is a Christian movie, and it's called The Forge. And I want to play just a little snippet of The Forge. Tim, could you turn that on for me? Just a short little thing here to conclude.
Now this... Now this was shaped with intense heat and pressure in a forge, weighs about 10 pounds. Take the sword and hold it out straight. The more time we spend with the Word of God in prayer, following the Lord, the stronger we get. Ephesians 6 tells us that the Word of God is our sword of the Spirit. It is our primary weapon. Now, at first, you'll feel strong and ready, able to stand your ground and face any kind of challenge that stands in front of you. But God wants us to love each other, encourage one another, keep each other accountable. Because the longer that we try to walk it alone, the harder it gets. Isaiah, how's that sword doing?
It's getting heavy.
Yeah, it has a tendency to do that. Such is life. And yet, men will try to go as far as they can by themselves. But we need each other. And God gives us strength when we stand together. Now, there are times when you'll have to stand alone, but don't do it out of pride or stubbornness. If you need help, ask. If you see a brother in need, help. Stand with him. Treat him the way you want to be treated. So how does that feel right now?
Way better.
That's a beautiful example
Notice, as the young man was holding out that sword, how much effort it took. And how little effort it took when those four gentlemen, or three or whatever, came in, held up that sword just a little bit. Each one held a little different area. And each one came in and supported. Now, they didn't have to support that whole weight. They just had to support a little bit. That's the example for us. I don't have to bear all of Gary's burdens. He doesn't have to bear all of mine. I don't have to bear all of David's burdens, and he doesn't have to bear all of Mike's burdens. And Mike doesn't have to bear all of Marcus's burdens. But we do have to stand together and bear a little bit of that burden. And when we all stand together and we bear just a little bit, we stand in unity with one purpose, and we bear each other's burdens, we become strong. And our purpose is then fulfilled. Let's pray. Dear Father, we come to you and thank you for these words. We thank you for all the examples in Scripture and in life that you've given us. For we know that you, every good and perfect gift, comes from you. And Lord, I just ask that you would unite us as a church. You would unite us as the church as a whole in the world. And that you would set that purpose in front of each one of us. And as we develop and as we move forward, each individual going at it a little bit different way, but with one purpose and one goal in mind, and that's to share, spread your word, and become a living sacrifice for you. We praise you, we thank you. We ask, Lord, that you bless the time in our rap a little later. And we just bless you today, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.